Blog Talk Radio.
The issue is not the election. The election is a battle in a war. It is not something unto itself. The result of this election in itself is a matter of indifference. It's a question of how the battle is won and lost, which is important. But there's another issue here. There's also an issue of World War III. And World War III is between the British Empire, better known as the Anglo-Dutch liberal banking financial system on the one side, and the principal nations of Eurasia, Russia, China, India, and other nations, are the targets of intended warfare by the British Empire, which is already turning Europe into a mere colony of the British Empire through the program of the Lisbon Treaty. If the Lisbon Treaty were adopted, and is being pushed for adoption now, there would not be a single nation on the continent of Europe, west of Belarus and Russia, which had any sovereignty whatsoever. The British Empire would control the entirety of that region of Europe, from Portugal to the borders of Belarus and Russia, as a puppet of the Anglo-Dutch liberal financial interests. It is those interests represented in the United States for a long time, have taken over control of the U.S. dollar, control of the United States. Now they're moving in for the kill. The same cartel that put Mussolini into power in Italy, the same cartel that put Hitler into power in Germany. And we're now at the brink of something like a Hitler power taking over the United States. If they grab the United States, then they will grab all of Europe under the Lisbon Treaty. If they control the United States and the part of Europe under the Lisbon Treaty, then you will have an actual fighting war emerging on this planet. You will have dictatorship. You will have mass starvation. The elimination of whole sections of the population of parts of the world through starvation. And that's part of the British program. It's the food war. That's the situation. We're not dealing with an election. We're dealing with whether there is in the United States in the top layers of society the moral fitness to survive. And so far, the vote is in the leadership of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, neither is morally fit to survive. They're as unmorally fit to survive as the people who backed Mussolini and backed Hitler back in the 1920s and the 1930s. And if we allow this to happen, we will get the same kind of treatment that the victims of Mussolini, Hitler, and so forth suffered. That's what we said. We have to win this war against that evil empire.
How y'all doing? This is Jay Signal, a.k.a. Phil Armstrong. I know y'all probably said, well, it took you about a year just to come on. A show should never take that long to come on. But I haven't did a show in a while, so I got kind of carried away there, folks. But please believe, I'm just here to serve you. Today, I'm going to be talking about today's society. Now, I wanted to upload some things from YouTube. This one kid, man, y'all trip on this dude. This dude had a temper, right? His brother hit a phone, hit a camera in his room, and the kid, I guess his mom found something wrong, and she decided to yank his phone. So the kid rushes in his room, and he throws his temper tantrum. Oh man, I wish I could just show y'all that on radio, but coming through radio is not as good coming through TV. Maybe I'll put that on my live channel. Yeah, and by the way, people, anybody out there can go and start your own channel. I think that'd be kind of neat, especially to spread the word of Jesus. I'm not going to hold nothing back. I welcome the competition because there is no competition. Okay, so this kid was throwing a temper tantrum. I mean, it was ridiculous. This dude was double jointed angry. I mean, he was all over the place. He was so mad he's taking off his clothes and he'll put the blanket over his head and he'll walk back and forth. I thought I was bad when I was a kid. He makes me look like Dorothy Hamill. I mean, he was bad. And what I want to talk about is the kids today. And tied in with the adults today. And our kids today are just gone. We had this dude live down the street. Little kid, I won't mention his name or his family name, but for some strange reason, he actually, I'm going to take a break right quick, and I'll be right back. And don't y'all move, okay?
issue is not the election. The election is a battle in a war. It is not something unto itself. The result of this election in itself is a matter of indifference. It's a question of how the battle is won and lost, which is important. But there's another issue here. There's also an issue of World War III. And World War III is between British Empire, better known as the Anglo-Dutch liberal banking financial system on the one side, and the principal nations of Eurasia, Russia, China, India, and other nations, are the targets of intended warfare by the British Empire, which is already turning Europe into a mere colony of the British Empire.
Okay, today I'm having big time technical difficulties, just like the last time, and just like the last time, and just like the last time. But we try to get through this, okay? Well, what we want to talk about is 2 Timothy chapter 3, when it talks about the conditions of men in that last days, which we are in now. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, chapter 2, verse 3. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 3. It says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men should be lovers of themselves, covetous, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heavy, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." Now, when it says having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, what does that mean? A lot of people change their condition or change their conduct in relevance to church. People believe that there is a special conduct that's tied to a church member. And if you're a member of a church, you shouldn't be acting this way. Well, when the Bible says having a form of godliness, that's somebody that's just like I just explained. They are conducting themselves in a church-like manner. And they're trying to carry this thing out of the church without the power of God. Now, the power of God must follow you out. What did it say in Romans chapter 16? I'm sorry, Romans chapter 1, my bad. Romans chapter 1. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Verse 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." So the power of God leads you, the knowledge of God, of course, starts the process. But the knowledge of who you are also starts the process, that we're sinners. But the knowledge of God is a bigger thing, because it makes us understand that we cannot approach a holy God in our condition. We're born sinners. So Jesus dies on the cross for our sins. He's risen again. We're not serving. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. So we put our faith in what God does, for that what he's done on the cross. But what he's done on the cross is take our sins away. But the power of God keeps us. The power of the Holy Spirit keeps us, and he gives us strength to fight. And the God's word gives us strength, because remember when Jesus went up to the mountain and he was led by the Spirit. But what was the channel that the Spirit used in the fight? Because remember, the battle is the Lord. Well, the word of God was the power that was used. But the Spirit of God is the power that's working through us. And he's working out that salvation. We're not the ones to work out our salvation. He is working it out. We're what you call vessels to allow the working out. Because what did John say? We must decrease that he must increase. Okay, so God wants us to win the battle. In the last days, people will be trying to win the battle on their own. And a lot of the times when the Israelites tried to fight the battles by themselves on their own methods, and that goes for us today, loses. Because remember, excuse me, I got the cold, remember when we stand before God and give an account, we're not going to be judged by the actual works, because the works can have the wrong motives. And even right now, with me, I am sitting back and saying, okay, I need to wait on the Lord. I need this relationship with God, and I know that. So that is the most important thing, to get God's direction. Sometimes we jump before God, or sometimes it gets what we're doing, gaining so much momentum that if you work a ministry out like a business, it can still succeed. And I know I'm going to blow some people's minds out there, but it can still succeed without God. It says, the gifts are out without repentance. So if you build something that functions well, just like a business, because of Walmart, you can't stop Walmart from functioning. It's going to work itself. If you packaged Jesus up, like it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, that they should make merchandise of you, meaning that they shall make these ministries and then make these lessons, and then all of a sudden they're preaching, and then they're selling tapes, and they're making millions of dollars off these tapes and stuff. You can sell God without salvation. I hope you guys don't think just because people have a big ministry they can be saved. That's not a qualification to go to heaven, folks. That is not a qualification at all. What is a qualification to go to heaven? You must be born again. If you're not born again, you're not into the kingdom of God. You would not enter in, John 3:3. But what did it say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that he who believes in him will have eternal life. Now, what type of belief is that? See, some people believe it's just a temporary belief. That's why the power of God does not resonate in people's lives. Because the power of God resonates in people's lives because we are open vessel, and we say, okay, God, you are my Lord. Okay, you lead me where I should go. That is why the power of God is there. The power of God is not there because we think when we go to church, we can act like we're good people, moral people. That's why the Bible says have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. You can deny that God can work something out in your life, but you can have the form of godliness. You can act good. You can act like a duck, walk like a duck, quack like a duck. Are you literally a duck? Maybe not. You're probably not. Just because you cry like a baby, which some adults do, don't mean you're a baby. You're just acting like one. Well, in the Christian realm, if you act like you're a Christian, you have a form of godliness. And then you be the main person. When somebody gets sick, you're not going to go and pray to God. You want to go talk to all your buddies. Or you talk to your relatives. Or talk to the gossip queen of the whole house. Or the whole neighborhood. Or the whole church. And yes, they are gossip queens and churches. The whole rewards. The whole Heisman and gossip. There's a lot of people that go to our churches that have forms of godliness, but they still like to gossip, have forms of godliness, but they still like to strife, they have forms of godliness. They still like stuff. You know, they like their cake and eat it too, like to cheat on their wife. You can have the form of godliness. A guy that cheats on his wife can act like he's good and faithful and loving and caring, but he's not yet. He's cheating on his wife. What do you do with that? Now, how do you exert a God-fearing power life. How do you have a, how do you not have, just have a form of godliness, but you, what did the Bible talk about the fruits of the Spirit? The Bible talks about the fruits of the Spirit and what the Spirit of God produces. And a lot of us have, are still working on this issue. But if God is going to work something out of you, you have to be a willing vessel to have that to be worked out. Now, some of y'all probably listening to this program say, I thought this was a prophecy zone. It is a prophecy zone. Trust me, it is. But we are taking a little time out to talk about this last generation. Now, there's, I've talked to some kids. I've talked to some people. Matter of fact, I was at the state fair, and they were. I was talking to people, various people, and some people grew up. Their parents are saved, a Christian. They grew up in a Christian home. They just walked away. And that's not a, just an unusual story. That's a frequent story in the United States and probably the world. You can't go to heaven off your mom's foot work. You can't go to heaven off your dad's work. Just because grandma read you some bedtime stories, you can't. There's no way you can go to heaven just off that. There's no way. A lot of people out there believe that God can be like a sideshow Bob, or God could be like a good luck charm in your wallet, or God can be something that you pull out when you need it. There's some people that seriously believe that they're okay with God, even though they only think about him like once a week. Oh, that's enough. You know, and even me, I have to even, we all have to give God his time. But a lot of us are too busy to do that. So we all have to think about what we're going to do in our life situation to put God in it. Because if God, the way I interpret the word of God, if God is not first in your life, then he's in the wrong slot. Okay, so if you got God at number 18, or you got God at number 9, or you got God at close, third, he's still in the wrong spot. Because if you want a better marriage, you're gonna have to put him in front of your wife. If you want a better, you want to be a better parent, you're gonna have to put God in front of your kids. If you want a better relationship with your sister or brother, then you're going to have to put God before them. Because remember God, Jesus said, if you don't love me better than you love your mother, father, sister, brother, cousin, et cetera, or football, or your car, the nice car, the boys in the military be outside on Sunday morning waxing it. And I ain't judging them, but I am judging them. Because what we put in front of God, God is a jealous God. And he does not want to be a close eighth. He wants to be number one. Now, if he's number two and working his way up to number one, or even number three working there to number one, he can work with that. But some people have a form of godliness and totally just tune him out. And then we talk about him with our tongues, but our heart is far from him. Now, the way you should like to love God is the way, you ever seen a young girl who has a crush on a boy, and finally the boy just walk up to her and say, I like you too, and now they boyfriend and girlfriend. I was like that when I was a teen, teen in high school, and I was in love with this girl named Sean. And my whole heart was given over to Sean. Now, Jesus must be, your heart must be given over even about eight, you know, more than I was given over to that young lady. Okay, I use myself as an example. Okay. So let's get back to the scripture, and then we'll close it, and then we'll do something else. But we must understand that today's society, or today's young kids, and this is this 2 Timothy chapter 3 is not just addressed to young kids. It's addressed to men, because it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men should be lovers of their own selves." And when don't you not see that? And do you notice, and I'm not talking about everybody like this, but do you notice when you say something, people love to give their advice without even listening? I ain't saying the majority. Some people are good listeners, but I'm saying a lot of people, after a while, after you get to know them, especially a coworker or a military friend or college student, everybody knows everything until you really need to know something, then nobody knows anything. I hope I didn't get nobody confused. But covetousness, it says, for men should be lovers of themselves, covetous. That means to want somebody else's goods, or even to walk through a store, because I have to be careful when I walk through Walmart. I don't want everything in place. See, people think covetousness is wanting your next-door neighbor's wife. That's part of the deal. But covetousness is wanting something, thirsting after it more than you thirst after God. It's also idolatry. Idolatry, anything you put before God is not good, okay? And then it says boasters, and that's a lot. You see, oh, my God, you know that. Just join the military. Proud, join the military. There's a lot of proud Americans, and they're proud in all the wrong areas. You can't be ignorant of your government or ignorant of society or ignorant of truth, which is going out drinking beer and not knowing you can get in a car wreck and kill the whole family, because I was in this position too, and then you turn around and you're proud about everything. You just one slippage away from 99 years in jail, buddy, or just killing yourself. You better get a hold of yourself, dude. Okay? But disobedient to parents. Oh, my God. You should have saw this guy on YouTube. There's no way I can share it with you. Matter of fact, for all people on Facebook, just go to the side and you can see my 24-hour channel. I have a 24-hour channel. And when you go on my profile, you're going to see Turn On Me. It's a box. It says Turn On Me. You can watch it from there. And I think you can even go over to a big screen and watch it. But just help yourself and go over there. But I'm going to put this kid on there, man. Hell, he is, this dude is tight. I mean, he throws a temper tantrum of, he make my one-year-old look bad. I mean, this dude is the epitome. And even my kids, I'm the disciplinarian in my house. And my daughter is trying to work on talking up under her breath to my mom, to her mom, and I just, like, go off. I don't really, get really mad, but I just point it out blank. Look, this ain't going to happen, not in this house, unless I go choke on a bone or die of one of these bad hamburgers that Jack in the Box got. I'm not going nowhere. So as long as I'm in this house, long as I'm in this house, ain't nothing gonna happen. Okay, not like that. You ain't gonna disrespect my wife, okay? Well, anyway, what I'm gonna be talking about on this show is, of course, news and current events. I did sort of say current events, but I sort of felt directed to go and talk about the last generation. And then I also wanted to talk about some real quick about this. Is this a Christian nation? And I think we're in deception. And we're kind of confused between, are we a Christian nation? Were we a Christian nation? And what direction we're going? And, of course, we're heading away from being a Christian nation totally. We're heading more towards a socialist society, soon to be a dictatorial society, soon to be a total anarchy, or worshiping the Antichrist simultaneously. But we're far away from being a Christian nation. I look at our television. Okay, the Bible. Jesus said that our eyes are the floodgate, and it's like eating. It's like eating. What you eat, but there are sayings out there. You are what you eat. Well, Jesus was trying to say you are what you hear. You are what you see. And if you are what you see, then our television, almost on every channel, if it's not a sports channel, the history channel, and sometimes the history channel even has sex specials, it's just filled with garbage. And see, our society's got so numb that we can't tell what garbage is. So garbage in, garbage comes out. So the more we think we're a Christian nation, the more we deceive ourselves into not going out and do the work of God. So we stay in our stagnant form because we think this is a Christian nation and we don't have to do anything else. But when was the last time you went to the grocery store and somebody told you about Jesus? I mean, you could just sit there and listen and see how they witness, or you can just say, oh, I'm Christian, I believe in Jesus Christ, I go to this church, I love God, blah, 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 blah. You can do all of that. But when was the last time somebody even tried to approach you before you shut them down? Or tried to approach you before you wanted to listen to how they witness, so you can get your own method out? You can learn how to witness through them, maybe. The Mormons don't have no problems going, talking to you, riding their bikes down the street. They don't have no trouble talking to nobody about God. The Watchtower, the Jehovah's Witnesses don't. The devil is not going to give them any resistance. He cares. He gives a darn. But see, the reason why a lot of these churches, you can't say God didn't call them. Oh, God didn't call them to go out and witness and to have a witness program. They go on by invitation and invitation alone, which is fine because that's what Philip, with Andrew, Philip, and they start inviting each other out. Come see this guy. He looks like the Messiah, you know. So on the Prophecy Zone, for those on Facebook, it's going to be a lot different from this because I on a certain date, November 15th, I'm going to start having accurate news, Bible reading, special guest, all that stuff. You know, I don't really too much believe in 2012, but I'm going to have a guest on talking about 2012. But most of my guests are going to be Christian. But sometime I'm going to fit some people in there that are not really Christian. A lot of people are going to come from Blog Talk Radio also, because I'm trying to get really organized here. I got a website called Omega 2 for anybody's out there. Just go, feel free to join. Feel free to put some clean videos up there and help yourself, okay? Help yourself. Before we go off, I wanted to play for y'all these dudes crying for some trees. Now, if y'all listen to some of my past shows, y'all will find out that I am very anti-abortion. Now, I do care about the lady. I do care about how she feels, especially after the abortion. There's a lot of people, ladies, that have sorrow, and I understand that. And trust me, I am on your side with that, especially if you feel remorseful. But what I have a problem with is I have a problem with people who claim that it's not a person up in there. I think you're wasting your college degree when you say stuff like that. And then they call me the ignorant person because I explain things so simple. But the way I explain it is that if you are, if you believe that there is no baby up in there and the baby still comes out, they should just take your degree and just trash it. I mean, if you go to the doctor and the doctor tells you they're pregnant, and then 9 months later you have a baby, then I think that the person who said that there is no abortion need to be taken to a psychiatrist. Because we're going on, and they'd be the same people talking about, I'm growing my garden in the backyard. come see it. It's really sprouted out. It's really got a lot of good apples and oranges and blah, 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 blah. Because that's exactly what they said. Blah, 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 blah. You know? You telling me that you believe those seeds are going to grow to a plant or a tree? But you telling me that the baby does not... A baby? There's 7 billion people plus that can justify... that can justify throwing your college degree in the garbage. I don't even think it's just like the to me it's just like the doctrine of foreknowledge or what's the doctrine called when they say, well, I was already saved from the beginning of the earth. I'm like, dude, don't you know that God only can tell if you who he foreknew or foreknowledged that's going to be saved? Oh, but I'm chosen and I'm special and I'm, you man, go sit down somewhere. There's no way you can start a doctrine on foreknowledge. It only God knows from the Alpha and the Maker. He only knows. He knows from billions, trillions, and zillions of years ago, and zillions of years before it's even started. He knows the future. We don't know nothing. So how are you going to start? Or Jesus only? That really makes me sick. You telling me that Jesus kept going around talking about the Father, but it's Jesus only? Are you a moron? I mean, excuse me, because the Bible said not to call somebody fool, and I think I'm going to have to look that up, but moron could be translated fool. So I'm sorry, God. But I think some people got my message, what I'm trying to say. And then what really irks me is when people are looking for the Antichrist and trying to figure out who he is, and they get mad at me for saying Jesus Christ is going to come back. So you want to look for the Antichrist because you love going through the tribulation period. Oh, I just want to get beat up and slapped, and I want a guillotine to just cut my throat. Just cut my throat right here. Right here, I got a line, special hair. I just can't stand that hair, so just cut that off when you cut my neck off. You know, I just love being in the tribulation period. Oh, you know, come on now. You want to be in the tribulation period? Well, have fun. And if I'm here with you, I'll be running with you. But if I'm gone, you have fun. You say, are you saying people that think there is no rapture is going to be left behind? I didn't say that. I think you're going to be just as surprised as I am looking at Jesus in the face. And to me, it's a purifying hope. If you think you're going to be stuck here in the tribulation period, you might as well just go ahead and go to the clubs until you see the Antichrist enter the temple, and then you can stop going to the clubs. As a matter of fact, you can count it. You can count. From the day he signs the 7-year peace deal, you can drink alcohol all the way up until the last 2,007 days, and then just get on your knees and say, forgive me, God. Or you can use the reverse. You can know that the Antichrist is coming, but you know that the church is going to be taken out before the Antichrist shows up. Then you get holy, and you get your house in order, and then you hear the trumpet sound. Then you go to heaven for 7 years for the marriage supper of the Lamb, where we receive crowns, and we throw them at Jesus' feet, and we never die. We are eternal beings after that. We're going to be eternal beings anyway. Do you know that? If you born out of your mom's stomach, the same stomach they say that there is no baby in there, retards. Oh, sorry, I'm sorry again. My bad. Okay, I'm sorry. Because when I say that kind of stuff, I want to say it, and I kind of let myself say it, and then I kind of clean it up. But I just think you got to be missing some blocks. I mean, there are people who believe that there is abortion, and they are killing the baby. Therefore, you know, let me do it for convenience. Let me put the baby on the altar for the convenience. Let me put him on the Baal altar for convenience. How convenient. You know, this is cool. This is cool. I can actually dig killing my baby so I can go out to the club, Club Shamrock, on 2nd Street down in blah, blah, you know, city. And then I can just give me some nice tight jeans and a nice circle to go so my belly button can show. And I can just be nice and my stomach don't have to get all fat because I ain't having a kid because I'm going to kill it. And the bad thing is you end up having a kid in your 30s, and you got to go chasing kids like me in your 30s or 40s. But it's better, hey, you can hold your ground. Just don't have no sex. Of course, that's the Christian way to do it. It should be. But like I was saying earlier on in the show, having a form of godliness but denying its power. You have a form of godliness. So I sleep with my boyfriend, and he lives with me. I'm kind of like just going off in a tangent today. So as people that are on Facebook and Twitter and all those other places, just forgive me because I'm really going on a tangent. And this is not the way my show actually is. It's just, you know, that's the way I'm feeling like going on a tangent. But the next show, I'm going to probably have a special guest. Just stay tuned for that and see how that works out. And I'll probably try to have a lot of guests from Blog Talk Radio in the near future. But like I say, go on my website, Zomega 2, and just check it out and see how you like it and upload. Feel free to upload as many videos as you want to upload. And that'd be cool with me. God bless everybody out there. We need to pray for our land, pray for our country, pray for the president who won the Nobel Peace Prize for potential. I know some of y'all might like President Obama, but winning the Nobel Peace Prize for potential doesn't make any sense. Now, the peace agreements and stuff like that have not even been solved. In that case, all the last five presidents should have won a Nobel Peace Prize, especially Carter and Clinton. I mean, he hasn't even got together with them and shook hands out in the newspaper. There's no newspaper articles of the Palestinians and the Israelites. Maybe one, but there's no meaning behind it. Not Camp David. It's not Oslo. It's not, you know, especially Jimmy Carter. He signed a peace deal with Egypt. I mean, you don't see him with no Nobel Peace Prize. I mean, I just don't think you should be a president unless you have military experience. But if the people vote you in, then you're president. And I pray for my president. You know, I was voting for I didn't vote for President Obama, but I was cheering on the first black president. But I didn't have any notion that he would carry us into socialism that fast. I mean, I just didn't think that was going to happen. I didn't think that would happen. Not that fast. Okay. Not that fast at all, but he did. He is, and I think one morning, one of these presidents, we're gonna wake up and they're gonna be total dictators. Even Barack Obama's name even sounds like a dictator, but that's beside the point. God loves Obama, and he wants him to come to the knowledge of the truth of God, and he wants all of us to come to the knowledge of the truth of God. There is a globalist agenda to bring us into a one-world government, and President Obama is trying to gear that up, and he's going on the road, and he's going in front of the UN talking various jibber-jab about a global citizenship and all this other crap. But George Bush, on the other hand, was talking about... of course, he was a warmonger. He likes war. He didn't care about the Iraqis killing all those people. Saddam Hussein is alive today. If Iran can't get the nuclear bomb, I don't think Saddam Hussein is going to get the nuclear bomb unless the CIA gives them the bombs or the United States government gives them the bombs. It's like we supply everybody with weapons. And then go after them because we like to create enemies. So if you create common enemies, you can change the laws on the American people. Easy. Well, listen to Eisenhower right here and then come back and talk about it and then we'll go off. God bless.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States. Good evening, my fellow Americans. We now stand 10 years past the midpoint of a century that has witnessed four major wars among great nations. Until the latest of our world conflicts, the United States had no armaments industry.
American makers of plowshares could, with time and as required, make swords as well. But we can no longer risk emergency improvisation of national defense. We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportions. Every office of the federal government, we recognize the imperative need for this development. Yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals, so that security and liberty may prosper together.
That was President Eisenhower talking about the military-industrial complex that is still at work today, the same one who killed John F. Kennedy, the same one who President Roosevelt said nothing in politics happened by accident. If it happened, it was planned that way. We're going into a global government and most of American citizens are asleep. They don't have no idea that we're finna go into a world government. None. And if they did have any idea, I don't see it. Matter of fact, I don't see it at all. We have to guard against our freedoms being taken and evaporated overnight. And those, that will happen if we don't persist. If we're not aware, that's what Eisenhower was talking about, being aware of what is going on around you. And this could have a big time, this could have a big time outcome of our society if we don't, because one day we can wake up and this whole thing would be military armed guards standing outside your house and driving around in tanks. You probably say, wait a minute, they don't have no tanks to go all around the United States. You want to bet? I'm pretty sure they do. Okay? And I can see it now. The government against the citizens. And a lot of y'all out there probably listening to me right now probably don't have any idea that they'd be the main ones trying to fight. Now, some people think the right to bear arms is because foreign lands for foreign invaders, which is true. But you notice those people out there in the military or law enforcement or any government officials, when you give that oath to protect the American, protect the United States from enemies, both foreign and domestic. Why do you think they say domestic? You mean to tell me there can be enemies domestically as well? Well, not just foreign militaries, but our military. That's why we have the right to bear arms, so there would be some type of balance of power there, a balance, so the government won't come and take over. Now, could the people actually fight off the government? Well, one of my teachers said no, but I don't think so either, because I'm pretty sure you're going to have some normal people saying, you can't fight against the government and join the government. So, but it's good to have the right. Why do you think the secret societies want to take the guns? Because they don't want any uprising. They just want you to surrender. They want the right person to sit down, lay down, and just take it instead of fighting back. Okay? And sometime that, Well, actually, I won't say that. But I don't think we should sit there and let it and take it. But the Bible says that we should be submissive to our government, which with me, I think up until a point, we should be submissive to our government, but up until a point when they tell us we can't serve God, then that's a different story. Okay, now, next time my show comes on, I'll advertise on some of these social places, and yeah, my show won't be so draggy and boring. I'll try to put some more things in it, and I pray, and pretty sure I'll come out with something that you like the next time I come on. But God bless everybody out there. I got like 6 minutes. So I'm going to go ahead and play the longer version of my song, and I'm going to get out of here. God bless everybody. Have a wonderful day.
Else's rights away to avoid our responsibilities. point, I imagine the age-old question arises. What if the mother didn't choose to have sex? What if she was raped? But let's look at the facts for the U.S. as an example. Only...
Okay, that was pretty cool. And last but not least, I want y'all to listen to the rest of her in part three. Let's go.
1% of all American abortions are hard case categories. This includes rape, incest, and the life of the mother being in danger. 1%. That hardly justifies the disturbing volume of abortions that happen these days. And who's to say abortion is the easy way out? I don't think people understand the effects of abortion on a woman. I don't have time to list all the negative after effects, but here are a few examples of the physical effects. 17% of women who've had abortions face complications in their subsequent pregnancies. Some may not even be able to give birth at all. They are also at a greater risk of developing breast cancer if they have an abortion. But perhaps the worst effects are the emotional. Women who've had an abortion tend to have more mood disorders substantial enough to provoke them to harm themselves. In addition, women who've had an abortion are 5 times more likely to have problems with drug and alcohol abuse. Abortion leaves a woman feeling lost and uncertain about their future. Almost 1/3 of all women who've had an abortion are dissatisfied with their decision. It certainly is not the cure-all people think it is. I read a story on the Focus on the Family website. It was about a girl who had an abortion. She writes, I had an abortion at the age of 17, and it was the worst thing I ever did. I would never recommend it to anyone because it comes back to haunt you. When I tried having...
God bless.